Oh, hi. I didn't realise I was recording, even though it went boom, 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 boom. It's Tuesday now, I think, and we're on our way to New Orleans, which is one word, apparently. Certainly not New Orleans. And I thought what I'd do was maybe... Brian yesterday wrote a post, which I haven't probably read yet, which I must read in a minute. But he wrote about this trip we had to a retirement community just outside Washington, D.C., in Maryland. And I wanted to kind of tell my side of the story, how it looked for me. And so what happened was, it was Saturday. We got the train down from New York. We left New York, left Dana behind in New York. So I was feeling a bit fed up about that anyway. And, but, you know, we knew that was the shape of the journey anyway, so, got on the train. The train was very late leaving New York. It was about an hour late, and it didn't really catch up. So we knew we were already late. And I don't really remember very much about the journey down. I remember coming through Philadelphia, and then coming through Baltimore, and Baltimore was a mess, certainly around the tracks. Everything seemed to be boarded up. Then we got into Washington, and we realised that Heather hadn't explained to her friend Anne, she was picking us up, that there were going to be four of us and lots of bags. And so she'd bought her VW Beetle. And so, fortunately for us, my hotel and Brian's hotel was just over the road from Union Station. So we walked over and checked in. And then they came and picked us up to go to this surprise. I didn't know what this was at all, but basically, we knew that there was going to, you know, from before we arrived, Heather had arranged something. Michelle had found it, I think, and they'd arranged for us to go to this thing. And I had no idea what it was going to be, except it was a bit of a joke all along the way that on Saturday I was going to get my surprise. So, we all squeezed into this VW Beetle. Brian went in the front because he's got his great big Jeremy Clarkson legs. And Michelle and Heather and I squeezed into the back. And so I was kind of, this is where I need a bit of video, I was kind of, my neck crept around because of the curve of the car, and squeezed in the back seat, and I was, you know, already fed up and tired and just still, you know, still worrying a bit about everything, as has been, you know, my pattern throughout the journey. And we set off in the car to this surprise. But we were told that all that they would tell us was that Brian and I need to bring our instruments. Brian's got a travel guitar with him, and I've got my ukulele. So that didn't really put my mind at ease, because, you know, then I knew that I was going to have to play at some point. That was going to be, well, I don't know, I suppose we could have posed with them, but it sounded pretty certain that we were going to have to play at some point. And so then I started working out what the possibilities were for what it might have been. And of course, all Michelle say was that, you know, she was trying to ring ahead and make sure that they, the people we were going to see, were still there, because we were already an hour late. And in fact, then when we got into, when we started driving out out of Washington, we hit traffic. There were roadworks and the traffic was appalling. And so it took us, we were then another hour late, I think, or maybe an hour, I don't know. We were much later by the time we got there than we'd arranged to be there. But anyway, that's skipping ahead. So Michelle was on the phone trying to get hold of them to let them know that we were going to be late, and it was getting, you know, the traffic just wasn't easing up, and I'm wondering about what on earth it is I'm going to have to do when I get there, and what kind of surprise this is going to be, and of course making up all sorts of, you know, the worst possible outcomes. And the sun was shining down and it was getting hotter and hotter inside this car, in the back of this car. Anyway, so eventually we squeezed our way out through the roadworks and off up to this place, and we pulled off the highway, and we kind of got into this, it's one of those, it's not an industrial estate, but it's like a, I don't know what they're called, but like a shopping mall, only, it's one of those places just off the highway where there's a McDonald's and a KFC and a Dunkin' Donuts and whatever else. And we went in there. We didn't go in there. We just drove past that. And then I remember. Then they realised where it was. And they started getting the instructions out. And we had to go up to the security gate. Drive up to the security gate. And we were clearly going into some sort of compound. Some sort of gated community. Well, it wasn't big gates, it wasn't kind of, no, you know, it wasn't, yeah, you know, the kind of thing. But I couldn't work out, or some complex anyway. I still couldn't work out what it was and why if it was an office building, why we were there on a Saturday. And then, I'm not sure at what point I realised that it was a retirement community, but it may have been the kind of vans, the minibuses that were driving around on this thing, or maybe I saw a sign or something like that. And then I saw Becky, who was our host, and she didn't look very old, but she, when I'd heard her name, I imagined a young woman, and she wasn't what I expected. So I put kind of grey hair and these vans together, and then we got out and started walking across, and it was clearly an old people's home, but not an old people's home like we know them. It was huge. It was enormous. Found out later that there's 27,000 people there who live there, and it had the same kind of slow pace that you get in those places at home. It felt like a bit like a day centre. I've been into day centres in the UK that are a bit like that. And because it's so big, of course, I guess the public areas are more like that, and you're not instantly onto a place where you're into people's rooms and, you know, It's all spread out, so you only see the you get a very public face. Anyway, drawing on. This is the trouble with this audio view thing. I've gone 10 minutes already, and I have no idea how long, how far into the story I've gone. Anyway, maybe you'll listen to me. Maybe you like listening to me. I don't know. Maybe you're mad. So then my viewpoint shifted to being about, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to stand up in front of a bunch of drooling old ladies, drooling because they've lost control of their saliva glands, not because they think I'm very sexy or anything like that. And I had a lovely surprise, because it started to, I kind of realised as we were going through the hall that Becky was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and she had a lei around her neck, and then we went and met Betty, who met us on her scooter, and she had a lei around her neck as well. And yeah, this is the point when I start to go, what is going on here? And then they led me into this room, and it was a classroom full of smiling older people in their Hawaiian shirts, flowers around their necks, grasping their ukuleles and beaming. And they have, so the story is that they have a group there and they play every week. And they get together and make music together. And they have a songbook, and they sing and play together once a week. And they have a very wide range of abilities. But they all get on together and do their thing. And they wanted me to join in, so I did. So we said a few hellos, and then we sat down and played some songs from their repertoire. We did Alexander's Ragtime Band and Singing in the Rain and something else. Can't quite remember what it was. Maybe Brian's got this in his post. But we did it. You know, we did three or four like that. They like to play in C. So do I, it's great. And so we played, and then they asked me to play and sing for them. And so I did. I did a couple of numbers. I did, I don't know, Who's Sorry Now, and When Somebody Thinks You're Wonderful. And it was really gorgeous, very moving. As you might have been able to hear just then. And, you know, just great. You know, I loved playing with them, and they loved having someone else play with them. And, you know, some of them were asking me for tips on how I, my strumming technique. And one of them had noticed that I don't place my thumb correctly on my left hand thumb, and I use my thumb to stop the strings sometimes. And they were just great. And they just have a great time. They just really enjoyed it, and they obviously really enjoyed having this group. And I was introduced to a lady called Dorothy Ferrero, I think, Ferrero or Ferrera, who was playing piano for the group. And she gives a nice solid piano and keeps them in tune, I guess. But it turns out that she, during World War II, she ran a girl band, an all-girl band in Denver, Colorado, and her husband was a musician too, plays sax. But unfortunately, he's not able to play anymore. But he lives in the same community. And we just met lots of lovely people. And, I got to shake everybody's hand and say hello. And it was just nice. Musicians of all sorts of abilities getting together and making music together. And then we asked Brian to get up and do a song, and he did one of his travelling songs, which was beautiful, really. And I recognise now that, because of something I heard later on, that it may be that they weren't actually able to hear much of it. Yeah, because of his style of guitar playing, the folk stuff, and he was playing quite quietly. I think some of the higher registers are a bit difficult for some of those people to hear, but they were rapt by his singing and playing. And all round very emotional event. And we got to talk to Betty, who started it up and who is clearly an evangelist for the group, and goes out and recruits as many people as possible. We had a little kazoo interlude. Betty gave me her kazoo, which I've still got. It's a blue plastic Hohner. It's right here. I'm going to play it too loudly in the on the train. So I think we did Deep in the Heart of Texas with kazoo accompaniment. There were a few other people who had kazoos. And then we finished off, I think, with Happy Trails, which is lovely, and which I've been listening ever since, and it's a great theme tune for this whole trip. So when we get to New Orleans, I'll record that, if I can find the chords, get online and find the chords and do a little version of that, because it's lovely. And it all was lovely. It was a lovely surprise, even though I was a miserable git to start with. It all turned out fine. And then we had a lovely dinner. Betty bought us dinner in their dining room. We talked about what they've done, and how they get out, and they made some videos and put them on YouTube, and it was the kind of environment in which I know that we could have sat and talked and talked and talked. So we let Heather and Michelle do that bit, continue it anyway. We had a good old chat, but then Brian and I went and sat somewhere else, and while Heather and Michelle interviewed Betty and Becky and maybe some others, I don't know. And that was it. We got out of there. But I'm really glad we did it, because it was it was a high point for me. So thank you very much, Michelle and Heather, for organising it, and for everybody who was there. And as that's coming up to 20 minutes, I'm going to stop and say goodbye.